Welcome to Legal Talk with Attorney Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law. Auto accidents, DUIs, slip and falls, each one can change your life. But the trial-tested, trial-ready attorneys at Flesh and Beck Law relieve your legal burden. Whether you need to heal from an injury or protect your future in a criminal matter, the legal team at Flesh and Beck Law is prepared to defend your rights. Now, here's Legal Talk with your host, Scott Whatley, and attorney Kevin Flesh.
Welcome to Legal Talk. Thank you so much for being with us today. My name is Scott Whatley, and we appreciate you being with us. Our show is brought to you by Flesh and Beck Law, 303-806-8886. Check out the website as well. It is fleshlawfirm.com. Kevin Flesh joins us once again in studio. Kevin, always good to see you, sir.
Good to see you, Scott.
How's the last few weeks in the legal business been?
You know, it's been good. It's been really good. We've had some really good results for clients through mediation, and also just some cases that I've been able to actually have rational conversations with people about claims and claims managers coming up with the money that I thought was appropriate for things to get resolved. So that's always nice, because that all doesn't always happen. We obviously have a couple other cases that I thought should resolve that didn't, that we're going to have to file suit on, but that's sort of the process that we're going through. The courts seem to be moderating to some degree, in the sense that we're getting jury trials scheduled, and jury trials are happening on a regular basis, so that's good. Things are sort of being a little bit more normalized. It's been interesting on the criminal side of the fence. The judges, now that we've had all of these virtual appearances over the last few years because of COVID, they're wanting everybody back in courtrooms, so that's been a little frustrating. Because it's the same sort of situation where you have a 5 or 10 minute appearance, but now you're spending a couple hours driving in some instances where you really didn't need to. So I'm trying to figure out how to have.
That way was really efficient, wasn't it?
It's really efficient. It's really efficient for the majority of the people. The courts would say that it's more difficult for them to do their work in that regard, and so I think that's why they're forcing people back into courthouses. But when you look at the grand scheme of things with regard to the amount of volume and the fact that a lot of these cases could be done remotely to save on our real property, in the sense of you don't have to build bigger courthouses, and we use technology to our advantage, especially I get into the office early, and traffic is up at 6 o'clock in the morning again. Like, I'm driving with a bunch of people around me and on the highway. So I think that there needs to be additional discussions relating to that, I think. And I'm hoping that the system will moderate, and it will get back to some of those things again, in especially the lower level crimes. But it's so random. Like Douglas County right now, the district court is doing a lot of things virtually, and yet at the same time, their county court judges are making everybody come in. Mm-hmm. It makes no sense to me from the standpoint of how the courthouse is operating, why it isn't operating more efficiently, and that they have a regular. The chief judge is doing mostly things virtually, and actually you can't really do anything in her courtroom, and yet the rest of the judges are making people come in. So it seems very odd to me that we can't get that worked out. But as a practitioner that just shows up a few times and not really involved in the leadership of that particular courthouse, I wish they would work on that, but I haven't been able to figure out how I can have a conversation with anyone other than sort of complaining about it on the radio.
Exactly.
But from the standpoint of how our office is running and how things are working, it seems to be we're in a pretty good place for our clients and for ourselves. So it's all good stuff. It really is. Trying to get we've been through such a long process where there were many frustrations about the legal system itself and how we dealt with the issues that we've had to deal with the pandemic. We were kind of coming out of that being a little bit stronger and a little bit better for it, and so it's been really really positive.
Right. We hadn't done this in a while, just kind of give an whole overview of your office and what all you guys take care of, but just want to ask you one question because one area is criminal law. It seems like, and I don't know if it's just the way things are, but man, crime is
up.
Up.
Yes.
Cars getting stolen
Yes.
seem to be just
huge.
Off the charts.
Catalytic converters.
Yeah, catalytic converter. I mean, I'm living in Highlands Ranch in Lone Tree. I saw someone on these neighborhood apps the other day. Some guy said he caught some guys trying to steal his catalytic converter from his car in his driveway.
Yeah.
I mean, so.
We've had them stolen out of
brazen,
the.
Man.
Had them stolen out of the parking lot of our building. Right in downtown Englewood. Yeah. I mean, it's.
Wow.
It's all drug related. It's all addiction. It's all related to, and, you know, fentanyl has had a lot of press over the last month or two relating to what the legislature's doing. Regarding the criminalization of that particular drug. I mean, it's killing people. It's a dangerous situation, and we need to get a handle on it. Mm-hmm. And even from the criminal defense side of the practice, I mean, obviously we're trying to do whatever we can to get people out of the jams that they get themselves into, right? I mean, that's what we're trying to make sure that the system is fair. But pragmatically, and as a person that lives in the city, there needs to be something done relating to what's going on with the bonding of individuals and allowing people out on PR, personal recognizance bonds, and then allowing them to go reoffend, allegedly reoffend while on that bond, and then still allowing them out. The trouble is, of course, is that our system, all of this crime is going on, and we can't house every single person that's alleged to have committed a significant crime. You have to pick your battles with who exactly you're going to make sure that the bonds are high enough that they sit in custody for periods of time. And there's some really good arguments when someone has a case that maybe the identity is an issue or that they didn't really do it, that the bonds need to be appropriate so that constitutionally they're let out, and making sure that they show up for these court appearances and things like that. But yeah, it's a problem.
Yeah.
And you know, in this next political season, we're going to be hearing a lot about it, and I think it's really important to have discussions about what is going on in our system, because there are places where it's broken.
Right.
And there are things that the legislature and that our current politicians are doing, in particular, I think, with minimizing the municipal court dockets and reducing their power relating to bonding, that is affecting the system in general. Because the municipal courts, in my opinion, do a tremendous amount of work for those low-level crimes in rehabilitating people so that they don't get the more significant crimes that end up in the county court or the district court. And
right.
And I think our legislature is missing the mark when they don't allow for these municipal court judges to do certain things with regard to holding people and making sure that some of these things are taken care of. Because we're also seeing a tremendous amount of shoplifting and other things.
Really?
Yeah, and it's all related to how you're getting your drugs. So people are trying to get resources for their drug addiction by shoplifting and by doing other things to get these items, to then give these items to their drug dealers or to the individuals that are providing drugs to them for payment rather than money. It's the same way that there's a dark web catalytic converter a web out there relating to those things, and there's some real value in them, and that's why you're seeing those sorts of things being stolen, because there's some value to other individuals in sort of the whole process. And so same thing with cars. Yeah. And you know, relating to the cars, I mean, personal experience, I've had a car stolen, and when you have that happen and the police just don't seem to really care that much about trying to find the car and try to do the things, we have some technologies now relating to the ability to look at license plates, and police have the ability to try to find these things. And there's a task force that's out there that's interagency of looking for cars. We need to have more significant law enforcement presence relating to that, and it's just not happening.
Right. When you look at, like, you know, I'm surprised with shoplifting, because, man, the way cameras are now today and all the different things. But is that generally just you give the stuff back and a fine?
So for the first-time offender, yes. A lot of times it depends on how the person reacts. You know, there's different retailers that are more – that prosecute those cases. You know, Walmart and some of the bigger box stores are definitely more prevalent. They have loss prevention on site that's looking at cameras and looking at things. You know, a lot of the self-checkout people get into trouble with, because maybe you don't check everything out the way you should, and you're not diligent about that, and that's a shoplifting once you pass all the points of sale. But yeah, I mean, if you make a common mistake, or if it's a situation where it looks like you're just not in a situation where you should be, and you try to steal things from the store, they generally will stop you. You'll get the items back, and then you'll be able to work out some sort of deferred judgment or something else that doesn't cause you to have a criminal history. The trouble is the multi conviction individuals, right, who it becomes sort of a way of life for them.
Yeah, because if they get away with it a few times, yeah, then they just keep doing it.
And there are some retailers out there that aren't as aggressive with regard to the prosecution and the trespassing of the individuals, and so those individuals kind of figure those places out, and if they can get away with it at those certain places. But then if they go to these more aggressive retailers, the Home Depots, the Walmarts of the world, where they will prosecute and they really have people on staff that's their job and making sure that shoplifting stops, those are the individuals. You can, in municipal court, you can get up to a year in jail for those sorts of offenses. So the person that has five or six convictions for those sorts of things in their history, they're going to jail over those sorts of things. But a lot of those situations are homeless and individuals that there are lots of other things going on in their lives, and it's just an indicator that they need help. And so there's also some municipalities out there that are really trying to work on those individuals through grants and other things relating to the homeless populations and mental health courts, trying to help those individuals so that stops, so that we don't have... shoplifting is a huge deal systematically through the retailers. We're all paying more for things because of it. And there are lots of retailers out there that have sort of the opinion that they'll try to talk with the person and try to stop them, but if the person walks or runs from their employees when they're making the allegation of shoplifting, then they don't prosecute or they don't try to track them down. Mm-hmm. And so it just sort of perpetuates itself. So it's a problem. And much like the other issues that we're having, it all goes back to what exactly we're doing relating to our homelessness, mental health, and the drugs that are going on in the city.
Wow.
Yeah.
Kevin Flesh is with us. It is Flesh and Beck Law. And we're going to kind of give you an overview, I mentioned at the beginning, of just the law firm itself. So I guess categorically, Kevin, you kind of handle personal injury and criminal law.
Yep, those are our primary.
Some other things. So maybe explain the reason why you went with those two categories.
Yeah, absolutely. So starting out as a young lawyer, about this in the past, I started out as a solo practitioner. That characterizes door law. Which it came through the door, we would take on. And so it got us into bankruptcy, employment law, lots of different contract disputes, business, and some business resolution services as well. And over the years, the bankruptcy statute changed, but in the early 2000s, and we got out of that practice because it just makes sense. Those sort of practices are a volume practice, and if you don't do it enough, you don't understand the procedures relating to the bankruptcy court, and you're not as sufficiently aware of what you need to do for the client and for yourself to protect yourself relating to sort of the rules and regulations, so we've stopped doing that. We still do some bankruptcy litigation, so if you get into a situation where there's an issue with discharging, or if you're going after, like I've represented businesses where maybe one of their subcontractors filed bankruptcy and you're trying to get money back.
Gotcha.
We've also dealt with situations where landlords have gone after individuals who have left their premises and then filed bankruptcy to say that it's non-dischargeable. Mm-hmm. We get into some of that litigation only because we do enough federal litigation that we follow the rules and the regulations relating to that, and we can still do that some of that work, but it's not our primary practice. Our primary practices, like you said, are the two, the criminal defense work and then the personal injury work, because it's generally litigation. It's generally courtroom work. We like to do that sort of work. We like to help people with that. We're really good at those sorts of areas. And they have a tendency to work together in some cases, especially the car accident cases. There's a lot of times there's a traffic citation or something else that goes on, so we're sufficiently aware of sort of how those processes work, and it helps us be better in realizing liability and explaining causation and then damages, as well as the criminal defense is generally flat fee work, and so it helps us in our practice in managing it from a business standpoint.
Right.
And that's where... you know, I'm still running a law firm. I'm still running a small business that I have 10 employees, and we need to make sure that we get payroll taken care of and all of those sorts of things. And so the personal injury side of the practice, from sort of looking in the back room, we don't always have settlements every month in a personal injury part of the practice. And so when we don't, we have the coverage relating to the criminal aspect of the criminal defense aspect of our practice, so that we get those monies in the door as well. And so it's a really good balance.
Mm-hmm.
from our standpoint. Now, obviously, there are lots of people out there that only do one areas. Either they're all personal injury lawyers or they're all criminal defense lawyers. But what I've found over time is that when we've done both, it gives us more expertise for both. And it's counterintuitive. People Sure. call and they say, well, you're not a specialist in personal injury. Well, we really are. Mm-hmm. But we do these other things, too, to keep our trial practice fresh. Because most private personal injury lawyers maybe go to trial once or twice a year.
Yeah.
We're going, I'm doing 10 or 12 or 15 jury trials a year. That's once a month. That keeps your trial skills very mm-hmm. fresh. Whereas a person that maybe hasn't done a jury trial for 5 years, once they get into the courtroom, their skills aren't nearly as fresh and they aren't nearly as ready to go. Just because think about something you do once every 5 years versus once every month.
Right.
You're going to be better at those things.
Right. You mentioned the addiction part earlier. I mean, are you seeing more if you took 3 to 5 years ago now with drug charges and all that just skyrocketing?
They are, and I think part of it is the population that's come to the state because mm-hmm. of some of the laws that we have. I think that also because of the way that the system has begun to treat drug offenses completely different than the rest of the criminal defenses or offenses, I think that we're seeing more people reoffending, and the drugs are much more likely to cause addiction. I mean, the methamphetamines and the heroin and all of the fentanyl, all of the things that we're seeing in the sense of those offenses being much more mainstream than they were, let's say, even 5 or 10 years ago, it causes people to have, they've got to take significant changes in their life relating to the addiction to those drugs than, let's say, alcohol. I'm not saying alcohol isn't as addictive,
right?
But alcohol, for whatever reason, people seem to be able to be more functioning adults with that particular drug than these others. These others take over people's lives, mm-hmm. and then the only thing that they're focused on is getting the next amount of drugs to feed that habit. And that's why we're seeing the shoplifting, we're seeing the people taking cars, the catalytic converters, all the things, because all they're trying to do is feed that habit. And in our practice relating to the criminal defense aspect of it, what we're trying to do is have conversations with people at the beginning of our representation to say, are you willing to stop this habit and work on your addiction and make sure that you get into a situation where you're not reoffending, mm-hmm. and then working with people and really trying to help them through that process. Now, a certain segment of those individuals are going to reoffend. It's
sure.
just, even in our best efforts, it just happens. But a lot of them were able to help through that process. And if people are willing and able to really take a look at their lives and take an inventory and say, I don't want to live like this, then we can help those people. Mm-hmm. But if they're in sort of the situation where all they're trying to do is kind of skate through the process and do the best they can to continue to use, but continue to try to lie to the system and to their family members and to themselves, then those are bad results generally.
Right. Now, some people may ask on the criminal side real quick, and then we'll switch over to personal injury. I did this. I'm guilty.
Mm-hmm. Happens all the time.
Why do I need an attorney if I'm guilty, or what's the benefit?
Yeah, the benefit is that we really, first of all, people normally don't understand what the system is looking for in the way of rehabilitation and what it is that we can give them for advice that they will actually will be able to show the court what they're doing. Many times people say, oh, you know, I've been 30 days sober and I just did it cold turkey and I'm handling it myself. And most individuals that are in that situation, because I get a lot of people that'll say that maybe on their third or fourth or fifth DUI allegation, listen, I've really given up now mm-hmm. on drinking at all. And the problem is that the court generally doesn't believe them unless they have some things in place to indicate that that's really true. So that's drug testing, that's, you know, random urinalysis, that's doing things that can really show the court, listen, I went out on my own and voluntarily got the SCRAM unit and I put it on my body and it's keeping track of my intake of substances. And guess what? It says that I haven't had anything to drink for 30 days. That sort of evidence is substantially more credible to the court than you coming in and saying, well, I did it on my own, I haven't had any issues, and Trust me, it's been 30 days. You know, it's just, it's not the same, because they look at your history and say, well, but you've had three or four prior convictions in your lifetime relating to this substance. And each time I've gone back and looked at sort of what the sentence was and whether you've completed it successfully. And three out of the last four times you didn't. And so you telling me this now isn't really making me believe that. And the court's looking at it as a safety risk, number one, to the rest of the population, that you may get in a car again tomorrow and you may kill someone. And that's on the judge's desk then. And they don't want that to happen. And secondarily, people really need to be honest with themselves. And so when I get somebody in the office that says, well, I'm doing it on my own, and they are a habitual user of whatever the substance is, I say to them, you can't do this on your own. You need to have some ability through your social network, through your family, and also go to regular meetings so that you start getting some accountability from people that will know when you're lying. Because those individuals are there because they know how the game is played, and they're the best ones to be able to. So get a sponsor. Yeah. You know, get a situation where you have the ability to have other people come in and say, listen, I've had contact with this individual on a regular basis, and I believe they're not using. And then you have the testing. And everybody who's willing to really go down that road and start changing their lives are willing to do those sorts of things. The individuals that are trying to skate by with not doing it tells me that they're still using. And it's that sort of real conversation and real experiences, because we've been doing it for a long time, that we help people that are willing to help themselves. But those that don't, we generally, I have the conversation with the person says, well, I'm guilty, and they're not willing to make that change in their life, then we're probably not the ones that are going to help them, because they really don't want to help themselves yet. And the system will deal with those people, because then they just end up doing a year in jail. And they'll be sober during that time period, and then hopefully get some skills to work things out. And if they don't, then they'll be back at it, and then they'll be in prison for a period of time. And unfortunately, that's how the system is set up. We can help people navigate through it, do incredible things that will help themselves long term. But if they're not willing to do it, then the system will eventually put them in some sort of jail or prison to make sure that they really learn the hard lesson.
Right. Attorney Kevin Flesh is with us. You're listening to Legal Talk, and the show is brought to you by Flesh and Beck Law. Once again, Kevin's number, 303-806-8886. All right, on the personal injury side, I think a lot of times we just think of car wrecks, and while we focus on a lot of that here on the shows, that can come under some other instances, right?
Oh, sure. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've got all kinds of issues with, especially coming out of the winter season into spring and getting into those situations where we have the premises liability, slip and falls, you know, the places where people have created dangerous conditions on their premises and people get injured. We have a lot of those sorts of cases, and we really add value for those situations so that people understand what it is that they're dealing with and how they can prove a case. I get calls every week where people have significant injuries. And because the phone call goes like this, it's Kevin, I've broken my hip here or there, or I've broken my leg, or you know, something has happened, and the landowner needs to pay. And then we have to have a discussion about, well, how are you going to prove? Because the landowner doesn't just pay just because you're injured on their premises. You've got to prove that there's a dangerous condition,
right,
or that they're doing something that's causing injury to people that needs to be resolved. And that's where we can help people. But if it's a situation where they don't have that, then they don't have to be responsible for your injuries, even as horrific as they are. And those are the hardest conversations to have, where people just believe all I have to prove is an injury. And so then we have conversations about, well, how are you going to prove the aspect of the liability and the causation? Because that's as important as your injury. The injuries are horrible a lot of times, but we want to make sure that those other things are taken care of. And have you harvested some of that information? Because sometimes if it's soon enough after the incident, even though the person hasn't taken pictures of where they fell or hasn't gotten information relating to other witnesses, there are things that we can do to help them try to do that so that we can create the situation where they can prove it. Because there's still ability to do that soon after an incident, as long as you get us involved quickly enough. We can go out and get a halo camera from the city and county of Denver that may show the accident, or show something that, or there may be other video evidence that you haven't thought of, ring cameras. I mean, it's amazing how much we're watched by audio video.
We would probably just die if we go, How many cameras we're on a day.
Exactly. It's incredible the amount of cameras that we are on just driving around the city, because a lot of these municipalities have so many of these halos and other types of cameras around to deal with intersections and in just our daily lives, and how many places these commercial buildings now have cameras up for theft and other things because it's so prevalent, and how those things can be harvested within 2 weeks or a month after an incident. We can still get that evidence, even if you didn't get it at the time, to show what took place. And it's because people need to be in contact with us right away after a personal injury so that we can help with that. And when you wait a year or 2 years or 3 years after the incident, then we can't do as much in the way of helping you create the evidence that you need, because it's out there most likely. Yeah. You just have to harvest it.
And real quick, man, our time goes so fast. But, you know, when you talk about just about any legal matter, I mean, it's a free consult.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, I mean, I think the tip for the day is, hey, you get into any legal matter, it's a
just make a call. Yeah.
And you know what? Then you can decide what you want to do, but at least immediately get a hold of you, talk it through, and everybody make a decision from there.
Exactly.
You, the client, whatever.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. And a lot of times getting that advice early on will help you and will give you steps so that you can understand the process, because most people just don't understand the process of whatever they're dealing with, whether it's a personal injury matter or you're getting yourself into a situation where you're remodeling your kitchen and you're like, well, what do I need to do to talk with these contractors, and what are the things that we need to make sure that we don't have anything in the back end of this of this transaction? And those are the things that give us a call, and, you know, talk to us about it so that we can give you some sage advice early on, whether it's an injury or a criminal defense matter, so that you understand the process. And at least you have you have the rules of the road at that point, so that you know what you have to do. And then most likely, I mean, I get these calls all the time where I've had the phone call 30 days, 90 days ago, and they're calling today saying, okay, we're ready to do what you said would happen, and move forward in our best interests. Yeah. And that's really what we try to do. We try to make sure we understand what people are trying to accomplish, we add value, and then the legal services all work out normally, and it makes sense for people to do it.
Because, boy, you can make a lot of mistakes very innocently.
Yep.
And very quickly.
Very quickly, yes.
So get that advice. And Kevin is standing by and his team to help you. 303-806-8886. Kevin, as always, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Scott.
Flesh and Beck Law, fleshlawfirm.com. That's F-L-E-S-C-H lawfirm.com. Give them a call. Put that number in your phone, 303-806-8886. For Kevin Flesh, my name is Scott Watley. Thank you today for joining us for Legal Talk.
Call now for a free consultation with Flesh and Beck Law, 303-806-8886, 303-806-8886, or visit fleshlawfirm.com. That's F-L-E-S-C-H, fleshlawfirm.com. A proven team dedicated to your legal needs.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.
With rates on the rise, how do you get the best rate? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. Did you know that when you get cash out, or your FICO score is below a 740, or you're financing a condo versus a single-family home, it will cost you more in rate and fees? Many lenders are charging more. Stop paying it. At Affordable Interest Mortgage, we have lenders that don't charge. Trying to purchase a second home, or is your loan amount considered a high balance or jumbo? There they go again, charging you more. Take AIM, 720-895-0500. Let us show you a loan that doesn't charge more. Seeing a low rate but not reading the small print, only to realize all the extra costs and fees? Again, stop. Call 720-895-0500. Affordable Interest Mortgage. Quit paying fees and closing costs that are unnecessary. Get a low rate without all the extra cost. Let us show you how to save thousands. Call 720-895-0500 now. Affordable Interest Mortgage. 720-895-0500. Serving Coloradans for over 20 years. NMLS 298191. Regulated by DORA.
Zip around the neighborhood, commute to work, or ride the trails on an e-bike. Hi, I'm Randy Carancy, founder of eBike of Colorado. E-bikes are electric bikes that are fun and easy to ride. Pedal Assist technology flattens the steepest hills. At eBike of Colorado, we have 14 major brands to choose from, and our expert staff will find you the perfect bike. Just try it. Take a free test ride at eBike of Colorado in downtown Louisville next to the historic grain elevator. Open 7 days a week from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Learn more at ebikeofcolorado.com. Just try it.
For years now, you've heard me talk about Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center. Hey, this is Scott Watley, and yes, for almost 20 years, Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center has been taking care of our pets. From medical, grooming, boarding, and even training, Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center is your one stop for all of your pet's needs. Not only is their facility state-of-the-art, but now you can download the free Lone Tree Vet app and visit their online store for your pet products and pharmacy needs. You can also have your very own pet portal. Plus, don't forget to read their blogs at LoneTreeVet.com. Do you take your dog on hikes? Check out Hiking the Trail Safely with Your Dog. At Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center, they believe all pets deserve to have a good life. Call today, 303-708-8050, or check them out, LoneTreeVet.com.
AM 560 KLZ, your home station.
Welcome back to Haystack Help Radio. Glad to have Paul Dowding with us. He is the owner of Water Pros. If you're just getting in the car, turning on the radio, we are glad to have you with us. Their number, 303-862-5554. It is waterpros.net. Hope you'll check them out. And again, highly recommend them. And I don't know, I have been very guilty, and my wife and I, over the years, of spending a lot of money on bottled water. Hey, not that you don't want to grab that sometimes, but you know what? You think about the water in your house, how it makes your skin feel, your hair feel, all that kind of stuff, and maybe how your water smells or tastes. That's what this show is all about today, and Paul is answering a lot of questions for us and educating us on this topic of water. So, Paul, let's talk a little bit about your products. Again, very highly competitive field, probably a lot of different choices you could make and who you want to represent for your products and the filtration systems and the softener side of things. So kind of walk us through your choice of products.
So our products are all designed and manufactured, again, by the Clatt Corporation. Their website is clattcorp.com. I don't mind giving that out. Sure. I think if people want to do the research. We don't purchase anything from Asia. I just don't trust water quality filtration coming from overseas, right? The quality control, I don't feel good about that at all. And so we like to, you know, design our products, work with our manufacturer to come up with something that's unique. And so we have filtration systems that can both soften and condition. And we separate the media. A lot of companies, mix, activated carbon with resin. Mm-hmm. And, carbon will not last forever. And so if they do that, well, you have to change both the carbon and the resin together, which could be, costly, maintenance. And on a side note, that's something I've noticed is that, a lot of our competitors don't talk to the customer about proper, filter replacement or maintenance on existing systems. Mm. And so, so what we do is, we explain to them that it starts with soft water, sure, right? Because soft water is first. Then any kind of carbon filtration you use and supported by soft water allows that carbon filter to work at a higher rate, because what carbon does is absorb all the organic contamination out of the water. It's like a sponge. And so if it's not occupied by hardness, right, then it's going to, filter more, right, have a higher quality. If it's, supported with soft water and you take the hardness out of the equation, hard water breaks filter media down. So okay, we also, on our combination systems, because of our design, the filter, carbon filter, is rinsed with soft water. So that's something that, it gives it kind of a longer lifespan, right? And, mm-hmm, and the filter stays fresh for a longer period of time. Think about, the water hardness and how small, right, the molecules are, right, for calcium carbonate. So resin was developed in the 1890s in Germany, believe it or not. And so the founding fathers of modern-day water filtration were fellows by the name of Mr. Culligan and Mr. Lindsay.
Culligan, right? Yeah.
Culligan and Lindsay. Okay. So Culligan, you know, what was a family-owned company, I think, up to the 80s. You know, they were out of Naperville, Illinois, right close where I grew up. And, you know, I think their address was 1 Culligan Drive, if I'm not mistaken. And so nowadays, you know, they're no longer, you know, family-owned company. Sure. You know, they're owned by a private equity company. And, you know, I don't think the Lindsay valve, you know, is in business anymore. And so, you know, the Cloud Corporation is that, you know, what in our products come from is, you know, good old-fashioned, you know, family-owned. It's the technology is just amazing. There's only really one moving part in that control valve, so there's really nothing for it to go wrong. And just be aware, you know, a lot of online companies, I want to say this again because a lot of folks spend money on an illusion, salt-free water softeners are not real, okay? And so, you know, with our products of, you know, the combination softener and conditioner, you know, you'll figure the carbon will last about 3 years. Other companies want to go out there and put a number, you know, millions of gallons of water, filter millions of gallons. Well, how the heck do you know it's going to filter millions of gallons of water, right? That's right. A little silly to say. So, you know, that's why we offer the free water test. Let us come out, test the water, see what's going on, and then the water test will tell us, yeah, we're getting close where we need to really think about, you know, changing the filter media. Instead of, you know, sending out a card and changing something that doesn't have to happen, kind of an unnecessary expense. And so, I'm a consumer, and so when I buy something, and it has an unexpected expense, how does it make that, you know, doesn't make me feel very good,
absolutely.
Right? No. So that's why we want to kind of eliminate that. And so, you know, in the water test, you know, also gives them the comfort that the system is working. And so, you know, you don't want to have a false sense of something's working properly when it's really not, right? Same with reverse osmosis filtration. We can do, you know, a test to make sure that's working properly. The RO units that we have, it's important that you get a company that uses the same manufacturer in filtration practice. And, in, you know, because of COVID, you know, we had there's a lot of, you know, companies out there that, you know, had to change and find different suppliers because of meet to meet, right? So if you get a system out there that was previously rated, right, by a consumer agency, like Consumer Digest or, you know, said, hey, we're a Best Buy, you really got to think about that, because if they switch manufacturers and get their filters from a different source, then they're really not the same during that certification, right? So that's, you know, be aware of somebody touting something, you know, that, hey, you know, we have, you know, this filter is a Consumer Digest Best Buy, then ask them, well, the question you should be asking, is this the same manufacturer, you know, using when you originally got that certification?
Yeah.
There's a resource that I recommend people can use. It's called the Water Quality Association. The website is WQA.org. They've got really, really good study guides that you can, you know, visit that website. They have a number that, you know, a person can call, and you can ask questions. You know, hey, if this is in my water, how do you remove it? You can type in a contaminant, and then they'll come back with recommended, you know, filtration, you know, process to help, you know, remove that. And the other thing, too, is you really can't say when you're doing water filtration that anything's going to be 100% absolute, right?
Right.
Except, you know, water softening, you know, it's removing hardness. You can be effective and say, yeah, we'll give you soft water. Mm-hmm. But when you're talking about other contaminants in the water, pharmaceuticals, for example, people are worried about we're having estrogen in the water, we're having byproducts from, you know, chemotherapy that they're finding in our water. That it takes a specific, you know, RO filtration system, and that's where you can say you'll get a 98% to 99% reduction. You should never say it's going to be 100%,
right?
You know, because it's just, that's irresponsible to say.
Sure.
Reverse osmosis filtration is a slowed down process where the water goes through, you know, nano filtration filter, right? So, you know, think of a roll of paper towels. It's wrapped in layers. So an RO membrane is the same thing. The membrane is the meat and potatoes of an RO filter.
Mm-hmm.
The water goes through every layer. It goes through the greater the contamination reduction. So you're going to have waste. So an RO system, it's really tough to say that it's a one-to-one ratio, right? And some, you know, and how can you say one-to-one when you're removing majority of the contaminants in water is what? Liquid. Right? What's chlorine? It's a liquid. What's ammonia? It's a liquid. Right? What's PFOs? PFAs? They're a liquid. Herbicides, insecticides, the cleaners, the soaps, the shampoos, they're all liquid. They make up, you know, what's in our water today. Mm-hmm. So I think a decent RO system should be around, you know, 2-to-1 or 3-to-1 ratio, meaning it takes 2 gallons of water to make 1 gallon of drinking water, because, you know, H2O just isn't 100%, you know, water anymore. And go to your municipality if you live in town and you have a municipal water source, because they'll print the report. They'll put it online. They're required to by law. See what's in the water. See what the report says, because they'll tell you, you know. And one of the things you could do now with the, you know, summer, you know, right around the corner, spend $11 at your, you know, department store, Walmart, Target, and grab a chlorine test kit that they use for a swimming pool.
Yeah.
Test your water. See, it's right there. And so, you know, a lot of folks can get skin irritation by high chlorine content. And there's some folks that even can get allergic to it, you know, give you a skin rash or like eczema kind of, you know. And then, you know, do the soap test, you know, at home. Get bottled water, right? Get a clean washcloth. Pour it in a mixing bowl. Take that washcloth and knead it like you're making dough, right? Pour the remnants in a glass, and you'll see that right there.
You may hear screams all over the neighborhood.
Well, you know, I remember, you know, my dad was allergic to Tide. So, you know, go outside and you're working, right, and, you know, you sweat, and then your pores open up and, you know, it absorbs the soap that's still in the clothes.
Sure. Paul Dowding is our guest. Once again, folks, it is Water Pros, waterpros.net, 303-862-5554. So now, have you seen water changes? I mean, maybe you were in a neighborhood, you know, 6 months ago, a year ago, and now you come back, and even that water has kind of changed in that area over that period of time?
Yeah, I've seen, you know, Commerce City, Adams County, they bought a filtration system that was supposed to help with their hardness, and they used to be 22 grains of hard water, which is extremely hard, and they got it down to about 7 grains.
Pretty good improvement.
Yeah, it's still hard water, but you know, I'm noticing kind of an uptick. It's kind of going back up, you know, and so Castle Rock, for example, is another area that. It used to be a moderately hard water city, but now with the growth and the different water sources, we're noticing the water is much harder. I mean, it's increased. Mm. It's went from a 7 grain community, which is 7 grains per gallon, so 0 to 10, 10 being really hard, they're at a 7. So now, you know, we've seen it where it's anywhere, you know, from 9 to 15 grains. And, you know, and I believe, if I'm not mistaken, you know, they're one of those communities where they're saying it's going right into the water treatment plant or the waste treatment plant, and they're piping them right back out. Right? San Diego does that too. I think, on a side note, that water filtration, drinking water treatment, it's going to be as common, you know, in the next 10 years in our home as the furnace and hot water heater is. Highlands Ranch has always been a hard water area,
Yeah.
You know, and their hardness can be, you know, 15 grains. And see, grain per gallon is a measurement solely for the purpose of water treatment, water filtration. So it gives folks a number or a gauge to see how fast, where I call it instant calcification, will show up. And so if you're in parts of Denver metro area, you know, the water isn't really that hard, right? Louisville, I think, has naturally soft water, right? And so, you know, when you're in communities where, you know, you're getting them where 9 gallons or 9 grains, excuse me, or to 15, you know, you're going to see that calcium buildup all over the faucets. And here's the thing, your refrigerator. If you've got a refrigerator with a water dispenser and you've got all that white calcium, right, that proves right there that salt-free water softeners don't exist, because that's most likely a 0.5 micron carbon filter, right? You got a quarter inch tube, right, that's sending the water through the refrigerator. And so it slows the filter, you know, the water flow down. The calcium oxidizes, and what it's done is created a coating around that filter. And so you probably have harder water coming out of the fridge than what's coming out of the kitchen sink.
Wow. Interesting. Paul Dowding's our guest. It's Water Pros. 303-862-5554, waterpros.net. When you call, be sure and mention you heard Paul here on Haystack Help Radio. We got to take our last break, and we'll be back with a few more minutes. We're here with Paul Dowding with Water Pros right after this.
Riding an e-bike will make you feel like a kid again. Just try it. Hi, I'm Randy Crancy, founder of eBike of Colorado. E-bikes are a fun way to ride the trails. Pedal Assist technology flattens the steepest hills. We have 14 major brands to choose from, and our expert staff will find you the perfect bike. Come take a free test ride at eBike of Colorado in downtown Louisville next to the historic grain elevator. Open 7 days a week from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Learn more at ebikeofcolorado.com. Just try it.
Have you been thinking about a new pair of glasses? Maybe some prescription sunglasses? Well, look no further than Stack Optical. Since 1968, yes, you heard me right. Since 1968, Stack Optical has been providing the most comprehensive quality ocular care for their patients. This family-owned business is proud to be one of the few optical offices that has their own on-site eyeglass production and eyeglass repair studio. Stack Optical, located at 2233 South Monaco Parkway, features the most extensive lines of eyeglass frames, sunglasses, and contact lenses to ensure that you love your appearance and experience superior comfort. Our comprehensive eye exams proactively diagnose eye conditions and diseases while providing the most accurate vision care. We welcome you to experience a lifetime of superior ocular care from doctors that are devoted to your eye health. Call now for your $69 eye exam, 303-321-1578. At Stack Optical, you'll see the difference.
Only an experienced trial attorney like Kevin Flesh truly understands the fair value of a personal injury case because he knows how juries make decisions. You and your insurance company determine the value of your case differently. Your insurance company enters keywords into a computer program to generate a dollar amount, probably leaning toward the lower end because they have an allegiance to their stockholders. You have a more emotional view of the value because you recognize the total impact of your injuries beyond economic damages. Kevin Flesh knows the truth. In our legal system, only a jury determines fair value. Unlike most personal injury attorneys who rarely bring cases to trial, Kevin Flesh spends nearly every day in court. He knows how a jury would likely react in your case, so he knows how to estimate fair value. There will always be a difference of opinion between you and your insurance company. Learn the truth from Kevin Flesh. Call 303-806-8886.
Rush to Reason with John Rush, weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
We are back. You're listening to Haystack Help Radio. Paul Dowding is with us. Water Pros, and once again, their number, 303-862-5554, waterpros.net. Hopefully you've learned something today about water. I sure have, and looking forward to having Paul at our house to check out our hard water. I know we have there, as he mentioned, in the Highlands Ranch area for sure. But hey, if you'd like to schedule a free consult, give them a call, 303-862-5554. So, Paul, when it comes to these products and the ones that you use in different situations for different houses, it isn't just one. It may be, I'm trying to think how to say this, it may be a unit from the product you have, but it all comes to the settings, right, of how you need to set it up for that individual house. So not everybody's the same, right?
Right, right. So one of the things, and this is probably going to be really technical, and I appreciate everyone's patience. One of the things I see online is they sell a softener for capacity. And the capacity means how many gallons of water can filter.
Okay.
Standard basic is 32,000 grains, right? And then there's a 48,000 grain. And then I've seen online where there's 64,000 grains. So what the grains means is, okay, if I have 15 grains of hardness, right? And then I want to take that and divide it by the capacity of filtration. So I'm going to get my calculator out here.
And
so you take a 32,000 grain system divided by 15 grains of hardness, it's going to filter 2,133 gallons of water before it has to backwash.
That's a lot of water.
Right, but it has to be at a 15-pound salt setting. So what's happening is some companies don't set the salt setting properly, so you get a hard water bleed through. Right. Or let's go to one where I've seen online where they're trying to sell a 64,000 grain system. If you take the 64,000 grains and you divide it by the 15 grains of hardness, well, now you've got 4,000 over 4,000 gallons of water of filtration capacity. The problem is the salt setting for that should be about 30 pounds. So companies selling those online don't tell folks, and so folks have a false illusion, and they set the salt really low, like at 9 pounds. What that means is the system is not getting enough detergent to clean itself.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with resin is that if resin is not used properly, it'll go bad. It'll forget what it's supposed to do. And so resin, you know, basically over a long period of time will just collapse.
Okay.
And it won't do anything. So, you know, I think the right size system for all of the Denver metro area is a 32,000 grain unit. I think 48,000 grain is too much. 64,000 grain is way too much. And so, you know, and majority of the time when you purchase something like that, your salt settings aren't set proper. I can't tell you, almost every time we go into a home, almost every time, you know, and we go to service another brand system, one of the main issues we find is the salt setting's too low. Mm-hmm. And so what happens is that the system's set up to fail. And so you get progressively hard water bleed through, but it does it progressively because, again, it goes through a backwash. It doesn't have the capacity that you think. And then if it's not getting enough detergent, then that can spoil the resin. And so, you know, you think you have soft water, then progressively it's hard water. It still uses salt, and you're dumping salt in it, but it's hard water.
Wow. So, again, I met you at the Home and Garden Show. A lot of people come up to you and talking to you and asking questions. What are most people just walking up and asking? Because, I mean, let's be honest, a lot of us, we're not educated on water. We don't even know. We just know kind of maybe what we're experiencing in our home with our water. But what are some of the big questions you get?
Well, you know, we get a lot about, you know, salt-free, you know, softeners, because that's
That don't exist. All right, that's your tip today.
That's a tip. And you know, magnets do not soften water, right? There's not a metal in water that's going to, you know, be magnetized, or the water chemistry isn't going to be, you know, repolarized, you know, for the hardness not to stick. And then, you know, there's terms that, you know, purification, you know, does this purify the water?
That's a good point.
Right? Purification, to me, it can only be achieved, you know, through, you know, reverse osmosis, right? Because that's where, you know, nanofiltration, and it slows down the filter process. So, you know, purification and slowing down the filter process means longer contact time with the filter media, greater absorption of the contaminants. And then the other thing is, you know, conditioning. You know, does this condition the water? So conditioning is to me, is a multiple process. It's softening and removing the chlorine content. To me, that can be conditioning. Mm-hmm. So kind of explain that. And then, you know, warranty, you know, is something I want to mention real quick.
Sure. No, that's great.
You know, a manufacturer warranty is 5 years, 100%, you know, on the control valve. But there's nothing lasts forever, and so, you know, and I don't believe anything when it says lifetime warranty.
No, that is so, I mean, I tell people that all the time.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. There's, I mean, if you're not going to get a lifetime warranty on your iPad, I mean, seriously, right? And then I think the other aspect of it is, you know, cost, right, especially in today.
Right.
You know, so, you know, we start at, you know, our system start at $2,195, you know, for our base water softener. Our reverse osmosis units right now are on sale for $900. And, you know, it's, you know, we're able to have these prices, and I'm grateful, you know, but again, we're factory direct. And I'm hoping, right, that, you know, with the economy and everything, you know, the way it goes, that, you know, the manufacturing can, you know, can keep, you know, giving us the products where we can keep having the great prices. And,
sure.
You know, and we also, you know, the water, setting the system up right and programming it properly, you know, is extremely important for the functionality, but for the longevity of a water softener, too.
Right. It is Water Pros, 303-862-5554. It's waterpros.net. Again, when you call, let them know you heard Paul here on Haystack Up Radio, and we'd appreciate that. And, Paul, last couple of minutes here, but I tell you, it's a great pleasure for me to, you know, have a company, have an owner that you can tell a couple of things. One, they treat their employees good. I've been to your place. I've seen the happiness around your building there. And two, that you love what you do. And, you know, I mean, I get that from you. Hey, it's work. Yeah, there's some days that are aggravating probably, but you know what? In the big scheme of things, you're doing something you love to do, and that's helping people.
Yeah, you know, I love – water filtration to me, I love the challenge of taking problem water and finding the right solution.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so, you know, sometimes how I've learned what works is trial and error through the 20 plus years that I've been in this industry.
Sure.
Right? And so, you know, we do a lot of dual tank water softeners and problem water. And the reason why we do that is that on a dual tank filtration system, conventional single tank water softeners have no choice but to use the same dirty water to clean itself, right? So you have to have a greater amount of detergent, meaning the sodium chloride in the water, to offset the hardness. So a dual tank system alternates, right? So you have clean water all the time, but it takes soft water from one tank to clean the other. Now, there was another company that I was with years ago with dual tank systems. But, you know, the Clack Corporation and their twin tank system is you can't beat it. The smart computer technology is more efficient than anything else out there in the market today.
Wow.
Right. And so, you know, monitoring the water, you know, cleaning on demand. But when you get soft water is a natural cleaner. It's another thing that, you know, there's a company out there that advertises cleaning carpets. Well, they use RO water. Right? RO water is acidic. Acidic water, our body will absorb quicker than anything because that's what our stomach acid is acidic. So another thing, just real quick, you know, be aware of anything as far as, you know, alkaline or water, you know. And there was a guy that came at a home show, if I got time. He had a pancreatic cancer, and he heard that alkaline water was going to save his life, and about broke my heart. So I started doing research on that. I haven't found anything, any legitimate science that proves that alkaline water has any positive ability, you know, for the body.
Sure.
And if you think about it, again, your stomach acid, right? So if you're going to introduce something that's going to counterbalance what the stomach acid is, then, you know, the absorption ratio is going to be slowed down.
Mm-hmm.
But with reverse osmosis water, you know, you absorb more flavors out of food because of the acidity of the water, right? And then it's absorbed quicker in the stomach because it's, you know, in part of what the stomach acid is.
Right. Man, great information, Paul. Looking forward to having you back on the show
here.
Thank
you. I look forward to it.
Every couple weeks with us. All right. It is Paul Downing, Water Pros, 303-862-5554, waterpros.net. Give them a call. Let them know you heard them here on Haystack Help Radio. Hope you have a great rest of your day. Leave it right here on KLZ 560.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.